Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister.
We are back in the saddle, Brian.
We are. I'm in a different saddle. I'm in my sister's old room in my mom's house in Orange County, and it's hot, but it's a saddle.
It is a saddle. It is a saddle. Well, yeah. I want to start off today with a class action roundup here. Well, it's a roundup of one story. But
short roundup.
It is a short roundup. Our friend Brian Blondell got a check from the Yahoo class action lawsuit, and I was surprised. It was for $61.
Hey, that's getting close to the ex-CEO's paycheck.
Yeah, so...
The couple million dollars for running a company into the ground check.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. There you go. But that just shows that you have to sign up for these things. We tell you all the time,
yes.
Sign up. Even if it's a dollar, you got to sign up.
I signed up for this one, too. I haven't gotten any money yet. Maybe they're going alphabetical.
Oh, that could be, yeah. Or it might be waiting for you when you get home in Canada.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I think it's just going into my PayPal account. That's what everything does these days, right?
He got a physical check. He sent me a photo of it.
Wow.
Which I then took all the numbers from, hijacked it. That's exactly what I did. Printed it out, flipped it over, and deposited it. Thank you, Brian.
There you go. Well, I got some updated news from Elizabeth Holmes. Her prison sentence was quietly reduced by 2 years, according to Bureau of Prison Records. She was originally sentenced to 11 years and 3 months for, well, we all know what she did. Not good. The Bureau has not provided additional information for why her projected release date was shortened, but its site says an inmate's good behavior, substance abuse program completion, and time credits they receive for activities and programs they've completed can result in a lessened sentence. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but she had bought a one-way ticket for just herself, not her children or her husband, out of the country, which signifies to me flight risk. Yeah. Also, she's been in jail for, what, a hot second? So yeah. I don't really see the good behavior coming into play here yet. This seems to be a white person thing.
I really don't know. But Sunny Balwani's sentence was also reduced. So
okay, so not a white person thing.
Not a white person thing. Just want to make that very clear there. But
a rich person thing.
Yeah, I think it might be
a rich. Oh,
wait,
they're not rich.
They're not rich. They
claim
have no money.
They're broke and they can't pay anybody back for defrauding them.
Maybe this is just a California's got too many inmate thing.
Yeah, well, I'd rather a couple people still in jail for pot from 1980 get out than these people.
In the news.
We have a new player in the world of AI. Yes, Elon Musk has thrown his dick into the ring. Since he's so big on pulling it out nowadays. Why not?
I did see those tweets. Yeah, why not? He's such a fucking man-child.
No, they all are. They all are. So he says, today we announce the formation of XAI. The goal of XAI is to understand the true nature of the universe. 42. Saved you some time. Give me all the money.
Well, I just want to mention really quickly that I've been trying to keep up with my tweeting back to anything I see from Elon from the Grumpy Old Geeks Twitter account with poop. And for the announcement, I was going to do 42 poops, but I got too lazy.
Okay. You know, you can copy and paste that stuff.
I know, but there was a beer in front of me.
Okay, fine. Fine. And they go on to say, we are a separate company from X Corp, but will work closely with X, or Twitter, Tesla, and other companies to make progress towards our mission. What the fuck are you?
Twitter's been rebranded as X now?
Yeah, that's remember? New. Remember? No, it's not new. You're the one that actually posted that story. Twitter doesn't exist anymore. They changed the
Yes, the corporate. Yes.
Yep. 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 Yes. That's right. So.
All right. Well, can't wait. I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I can't wait until he's figured out that the purpose of life is to replace your customer service with poop emojis.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll get to some more of that.
And not pay your bills.
Not pay your bills. I did see one come through this morning that I didn't even bother putting in the show notes. He owes $500 million to all the employees that he fired.
You mean all the ones that are working over at Threads now?
Yeah, exactly.
That was his other thing. He's going to sue them for hiring people he fired.
Yeah.
That's the new thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Elon.
Yeah. Even though Threads is actually a pre-existing product from 2019, I believe. Actually, 2017 to 2019, something around there.
They've been working on it for a long time, yes.
And it was live, and then it failed, and then they pulled it, and now it's back. But we'll get to that one in a second, because Elon is warning the Chinese government that, you know, AI could take over the country, and they believe him. So, yeah. Can we pull his visas at any point, or do we just let him go? I don't know. I guess he's actually a citizen, so we're stuck with him. Fuck.
Damn. At least he can't run for president.
Mm, there is that. Although at this point, I don't even think he could make it. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Now, just to get into this shit pile of Twitter news here, we'll make this quick. Twitter has started ad revenue sharing with their verified creators. Basically, anybody who signs up for Blue and has over 5 million tweet impressions each month for the last 3 months, they can get a cut of the money.
Okay. Which, what money?
Well, apparently there's a decent amount here. This one guy, Brian Krasenstein, he's got about 750,000 followers. He claims that Twitter paid him $24,000. So.
I'd never heard of him before, and he shows up in my not the following feed, the whatever feed, like all the time now.
Oh, the recommended for you bullshit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like this. I don't know who Farzad Mezbahi is. I'm going to butcher that name every time. He tweeted, "The more haters you have in your replies, the more money you'll make on Twitter." And of course, Elon replied, "Poetic justice." It's like, no, it's not poetic justice.
No.
It's it is the symptom of a shit platform.
Yes, it is. It is a dumpster fire, not poetic justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And go ahead, because I got to follow up on your follow up.
Okay, this one's pretty much just a great headline. Twitter is trying to fix the verified DM spam problem it created.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Which is true. DM spam is way up, and now they're trying to actually fix that, because this is a reversal from a change Musk recently endorsed that allowed paid Twitter Blue subscribers to direct message any user regardless of following status. He said that this would cut down on AI bots, and remarkably, the exact opposite happened.
He's got a bunch more spam.
Yep.
Great. Great. So, you know, now that they're rolling out these programs where if you sign up for Twitter Blue and you have a bunch of followers, you can get paid. The problem is, on programs like that, you have to have a healthy and robust ecosystem for anybody to give a shit that really wants to, you know, make a career out of it. But when you Elon isn't even turning on the sprinklers in the backyard. He is literally shitting all over your tent in the backyard and saying, "Do you like it yet? Do you like it yet? Am I doing good? Am I doing good?" It's ridiculous, but I mean, it's just the hits keep on coming, because just like your headline was really good. I got one better. I got one better for you. Taliban leader endorses Elon Musk's Twitter over new rival Threads.
Oh, well, that's you want to put that on your front page.
Kind of says it all right there, doesn't it?
It really kind of does.
You know, when I read that and I read the article, I'm just like, I deleted all my tweets and I have not looked at it since. I'm like, look, there comes a point where you have to say fucking no. I've said no many times, but this really kind of takes the cake. When the Taliban, the most evil motherfuckers on the planet, says, good enough for us.
You know, I'm with you. That isn't the straw that broke this particular camel's back. For me, it was when I realized I have three distinct Twitter-like services on my phone now.
Yeah.
I have Twitter, which is vaguely Twitter-like these days.
Uh-huh.
Not really much anymore, thanks, Elon.
Yeah.
I've got Blue Sky,
yep.
And I've got Threads. And I'm like, I hate all three of these.
Well,
I'm done.
You have to pick which billionaire you like least. That is literally what it comes down to now. Which billionaire
But I don't
do
like any
the
of
least?
Them. I think I'm
or
opting
hate
out.
The least, I should say.
I'm leaning out, Jason.
Well, then you got to install Mastodon.
No. I forgot there's a fourth one. I just never bothered with that one.
Yeah.
But I do have some good Elon news. Researchers have found evidence of organic matter on Mars. Go explore. Investigate, Elon. Maybe it's a potato.
Maybe it's a potato. Now, some AI news.
Some.
Because, yeah, some. There we go. Bill Gates has thrown his hat into the ring, and he wrote an article called "The Risks of AI Are Real But Manageable."
I would like to point out that Bill Gates did not threaten the CEO of ChatGPT with a cage fight or whipping out his cock.
Yet.
Isn't it nice?
Yet. Yeah, this kind of reminds me of some constructive doomerism. He's like, Okay. Yeah, it could be bad, but we've been down this road before and we kind of know how to deal with it. So maybe, you know, maybe we just kind of let it run its course and we figure it out as we go along.
Kind of like they did with that initial Twitter AI that they unleashed on the world that instantly became violently racist. I mean, they did shut it down.
Yeah, yeah.
So the maybe Microsoft, they do know how to handle
it. The Microsoft bot. I can't remember her name.
I can't either, but...
Yeah, I think Bill was gone by then, but he's probably got a few bits of stock left. So I'm sure he's got a little pull somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think they would take a call from Bill Gates.
I think they would, too. I think most people would. Well, the FTC has finally said, enough is enough. We shall investigate. Because they've got such a great track record lately. They're doing grand, the FTC.
I am going to ask how one investigates a black box.
I guess you look at the logs for the training data.
Well, that's true.
You follow the lawsuits. That's what you have to do. Follow the lawsuits.
All right. Well, good for you, FTC. I think, well, there needs to be scrutiny on these systems. There's no doubt about that. So have at it.
Yeah. We'll see what they come up with at this point. But... Yeah. I mean, the one thing I didn't also put in the news here is that the FTC's argument against the Microsoft Blizzard or Microsoft Activision deal got shot down. So hopefully they will get that done in the next couple of days. I think they got 4 days to lock that thing together. Okay. So
very Succession-esque things going on right now. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's a good one for at least United States companies because, like I said, Sony is you got Sony on that side. You have to have some balance in the force somewhere, you know.
Yeah, I'm down with it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, believe it or not, we're waiting on the UK's decision on that merger, though. So there's going to be a couple little tweaks over there. But
are we really paying attention to the UK at this point after Brexit and their economy falling apart and everybody being miserable there? Screw them.
Well, that's the only place in Europe that threads can be loaded. So.
That's true.
Because the rest of Europe's like, no, Mark. Let me explain something to you. Although at the same time, they just approved this new data privacy framework that lets Facebook and Google share data back and forth with their European servers and their U.S. servers. And this is what just threw me for a loop. The commission concluded that the United States provides an adequate level of protection for personal data comparable to that of the EU. What?
The commission is fucking high.
The commission is apparently owned by the CIA. Because...
Yeah, there are. I mean, California has tried to pass a few laws. We have a smattering, a patchwork of semi decent privacy laws, but nothing that's national. This is ridiculous. Of course, we don't have the same level of protection. I can guarantee you that. I know that from building and working on the internet right now. If we only had to worry about the U.S., we would have nothing. GDPR is hard to implement and do properly. So that is a load of shit.
Yeah, and I like this. Privacy activist Max Schrems plans to challenge the latest deal, citing the need for changes in U.S. surveillance law. Good luck with that one, Max.
Yeah. Good luck.
In breaking news, Max Schrems cannot be found.
He is no longer on Twitter. Interesting.
And here's a new one from OpenAI. They are introducing Super Alignment. It's a new team that they're trying to put together. And they say, we need scientific and technical breakthroughs to steer and control AI systems much smarter than us. To solve this problem within 4 years, we're starting a new team co-led by blah, 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 and blah, 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 dedicating 20% of the compute we've secured to date to this effort. We're looking for excellent ML researchers and engineers to join us. Well, why wouldn't you be looking for AI engineers and researchers to join you? If AI is everything, why are you looking for ML?
I gave up that battle.
I know. I just That actually just popped out at me. I'm like, oh, God, that's funny. So basically what they're trying to do is build in fact checking into these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in 4 years after the you know, everything has been destroyed.
Who fact checks the fact checkers? That's my question.
Yeah. Well, in the next article I have here. This is an article that was a collaboration between the New York Magazine and The Verge called AI is a lot of work. And it comes back to everything I've been saying since this whole shit started. AI is still people. They have farms of people. Basically, it's Morlock GPT is what it is. We have, you know, farms of people over in Africa who are being trained to train the AIs and say, yep, that's a cat. Yep. That's a dog. That's a horse. And I'm sure as far as fact checking goes, I was thinking about this morning. They can't just have one offs. You know, like if I sit there and call a dog a cat and a cat a dog, they have to have multiple layers of people checking these things. So you probably get like, you know, a proficiency score and things like that. At least in my world, that's how I hope things would be.
This entire podcast is us explaining how we never would have built things the way that they were actually built and put out there, Jason.
This
so
is true.
I'm 100% sure that they didn't do the proper things that you and I would have done.
That's right. Okay, so we're at least still on brand.
Yes, we are. Well, the honeymoon phase may actually be over with these things. The Washington Post has reported that the ChatGPT app saw its first dip in user numbers last month. In fact, mobile and desktop traffic to the bot's website shrank by nearly 10% globally in June, notwithstanding BuzzFeed putting their entire company on there.
And CNET and...
Downloads of the bot's iPhone app have also declined, which, I mean, I just think that the people that are into it have tried it and they're either
everybody's
into
got
it or they're not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it. So we'll see. Another popular AI chatbot, character.ai, also saw its engagement levels decline in June. So they're basically throwing shit at the wall, trying to figure out what's going on. They don't know. And basically, I think it's just what we think. It's people have given it a go, and some people are using it and find it useful. And a lot of people think it's just dumb. So,
well, there's also a lot of bifurcation coming on with all of these different everybody's using the APIs instead of just going to ChatGPT itself. Like,
it's baked into everything now. It's baked into Adobe. It's baked into Bing. It's baked into your fucking toaster app. It's probably baked into your app controlled bed, Jason.
Could be. I was checking out Poe the other day because they're using some of the new Anthropic models, which are more up to date than, you know, the ChatGPT stuff. And was it the 4.0 version of?
You say up to date. I say less tested.
Exactly. Well, that's like saying new hires and fresh talent and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. But
now with less guardrails.
I love it, though, because at least you get up to date wrong information. This is the wrongest, latest information that we could possibly give you.
That's great. That's just such a good tagline.
Oh, it's still wrong, but it's freshly wrong.
It's freshly wrong.
Freshly wrong. Oh, so somebody leaked. Apparently, OpenAI had some kind of conference call with some folks, and they leaked some of their information, or they posted some of their information on what it took to train GPT-4, and it was behind a paywall, and somebody said, I can copy and paste, and leaked it out, and then that got taken down. But thank God for the internet, because now we can find out exactly what this thing takes to train. Holy jiminy jeepers.
I have a fantasy that we pull back a big giant curtain like the Wizard of Oz, and it's just Elon Musk with his Neuralink.
Playing Pong with his brain. Oh, God. OpenAI's training flops for GPT-4 is on approximately 25,000 A100s, which are GPUs, for 90 to 100 days at about a 32% to 62% MFU, which I believe is utilization across the hardware, which is pretty low. And it says, part of this is extremely low utilization due to an absurd amount of number of failures requiring checkpoints that need to be restarted from. So all those NVIDIA, that's how NVIDIA is making their money. They're selling them like faulty GPUs that keep burning out and they have to keep replacing them.
And you thought crypto was bad for the environment.
Yeah. It's great. So the main thing here is that where's that cost? Okay. If their cost in the cloud was about $1 per A100 hour, the training cost for this run alone would be about $63 million. Mm-hmm. So that $10 billion from Microsoft, you know, that's, yeah, you know, that's why they need that much money. And the rest of it is to run all this stuff for future stuff and everybody hitting it every 2 seconds, or not every 2 seconds, every 200,000 times a second.
Yeah.
But here's the other interesting thing is the cost is 0.0049 cents per 1,000 tokens. So that's actually, you know, that's a decent business model once you earn back that $63 million, you know, on that $20 a month we're paying. We're definitely, you know, probably doing about a quarter's worth of compute, even if you're like whacking the shit out of it. So
yeah, that is a totally decent business model, provided you don't care about morality or ethics or the planet.
Brian, we're talking tech here, bro.
Oh, right. Sorry, well, I thought I was on a decent business podcast for a second.
And still, as much as you know, we're burning down the rainforest with training these things, it's still not as bad as Bitcoin.
That's
true. It's not anywhere near as bad as Bitcoin. So
that's true.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to fix that Bitcoin problem. Not enough money in it anymore. They've all pivoted.
Yeah, they fixed it in Ethereum. So, you know, if you want to go buy an NFT.
Not a lot of GM tweets anymore.
I still see a few, and they just make me chuckle over my coffee. I'm like, you morons. Oh, God. But most of them are rich morons. So who's the idiot, I guess? Oh, fuck.
They made their money from other things. That's... Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you and I will get some of this trickle-down effect of AI because Google's medical AI chatbot is already being tested in hospitals. Wait, what?
Keyword tested. I'm happy about that.
No, keyword for me is already. I'm like, oh, okay. Is anybody telling anyone that this is happening?
Yeah. I wonder if there's consent on this or if they're just taking... One of our other favorite things, air quotes, anonymized data.
Yeah, exactly. It says the Wall Street Journal reports customers testing MedPalm 2 will control their data, which will be encrypted, and Google won't have access to it. Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've read this book before, guys.
Yes,
sorry.
We have.
We've read this book before.
All right.
Yeah, if that's not scary enough, the U.S. military is doing the same goddamn thing.
Well, shit. Game over.
the only winning move is not to play.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie, too.
Okay. All right. Well, some decent good news on this front. Sarah Silverman is suing OpenAI and Meta over copyright infringement. Alongside novelist Christopher Golden and Richard Cadre, they filed a pair of complaints against OpenAI and Meta. They basically are alleging that the firms trained their large language models on copyrighted materials, including works they published without obtaining consent, which is exactly what they did.
Mm.
So good. Sue them.
Yeah. I mean, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I hope this goes well. I hope this actually wins. Let's see. I mean, because these things are just out there scraping everybody's stuff. They say they aren't, but they are. I mean,
yeah.
God, they've got better downloads and access to Sweden than we do.
Yeah, seriously. The thing now is though they're running out of shit to scrape. They're having to buy more
stuff. Well, this is when it starts
now.
To feed on itself, right? It's just going to start scraping the ones, the shit the other AIs are shitting out.
Yeah, that's what we talked about a couple of weeks ago about model collapse.
Yep, that's where we're headed.
Yeah, we're headed there. And they're also, I think they're going to start blocking new things coming in and actually buying old corpuses of data that are out there. So
right.
We'll see how that goes. But we're going to get to the point where everything has been trained upon that is, you know.
I can't wait until the AI starts spitting back things in old English.
Oh, God. I'd like to buy some ads. Well, that'll be three threepence, sir.
I can't wait for Shakespeare bot. This is going to be the best thing ever.
Well, isn't that Bard?
Bard? It should be, yeah.
I don't know if you've tried Bard, but that shit's incomprehensible.
Nah, I've so tuned out on these things. I'm done with Twitter clones and I'm done with AI right now.
I still use AI every day. And as far as I can tell, Bard is definitely the also-ran of the group still. You know why? Because they're trying to do it right, I guess.
I think so.
And they knew it wasn't ready.
Yes, they know it's not ready yet.
Okay, well,
yeah,
we'll see.
Being good doesn't pay.
Yeah, I did try the Poe AI, the one that's from Quora. Mm-hmm. The one that's using the new Anthropic models, and it's actually pretty good.
There was a female artist named Poe that came out in the 90s, like the Alanis Morissette mm-hmm. era, and every time I hear Poe, I hear that screeching single of hers. I never liked it.
Think of Altered Carbon and the AI that ran the hotel.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. But when ChatGPT first came out, I was having all of our ad copy rewritten in the voice of Edgar Allan Poe, and it was pretty damn good.
We should use some of that.
Yeah. I did. I used it a lot on Twitter, which I don't use anymore. So if you find me a new, I'm not going to post it on Threads. Fuck that noise. Oh, God. Back to Meta for one last time here. Meta Platforms tops the list of UK payment scams. So they're saying that when it comes to payment scams, Facebook, not Bitcoin, is right at the top of the list.
Right. So, okay. That makes sense, actually.
Sadly. Well, if you're stealing money from old people, where do all the old people go now? Facebook. Perfect.
Well, speaking of stealing money from people, Celsius founder Alex Mashinsky has been arrested and charged with fraud. Now, Celsius is one of these crypto companies, of course.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I prefer Fahrenheit myself because I'm a United Statesian.
Well, but, yes. Yeah. He and his company are being independently sued by three government agencies, the FTC, the CFTC, and the SEC. They are alleging that he misled customers regarding the nature of his company, i.e. all crypto companies do that, making it seem like a bank when it was actually a high-risk investment fund. You know, when we initially said the only real use case for crypto was for criminals, I didn't think it would be the people running the companies.
Oh, I totally did. Come on. It's crime all the way down.
It's almost like you can't find a legit crypto company out there, Jason.
I wonder what's up with that. I just like that I've never heard of the CFTC. Are they making up new branches of government just to sue these guys? Is that the Crypto Federal Trade Commission?
Never heard of it either. I hope so.
Okay.
And speaking of Celsius and Canadians, I had to throw this one in there because this is just great. A Canadian judge has ruled that the popular thumbs up emoji not only can be used as a contract agreement, but is just as valid as an actual signature.
Beautiful.
I do not believe this is going to stand up if it goes to higher court, but I do like this theory. This involves a grain buyer sending out a mass text to drum up clients and a farmer agreeing to sell 86 tons of flax for around $13 per bushel. I don't know if that's the going rate, but, you know, there you go. The buyer texted a contract agreement to the farmer and asked for the farmer to confirm receiving the contract. He issued a thumbs up emoji as receipt of the document, but backed out of the deal after the flax prices increased. Now, see, I think this is bullshit because the thumbs up was only confirming that he received it, not agreeing to the contract.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not down with this judge's findings here. That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's not an execution of contract. That is a confirming of receipt. That's exactly what it is. Yes, I got it. You know.
Yep, got it. Thumbs up. I'll read it and then figure it out. That's
it. So. And I'll send you something back on DocuSign where you actually sign it and date it, and there's an escrow company in the middle that checks that. Thumbs up on an emoji.
I am waiting to find out what the legal arrangement is for the poop emoji that I've been using extensively for Elon, though. I might be in some trouble.
You might be.
This episode is sponsored by Mood. 420 celebrations come in all shapes and sizes, just like the many ways to enjoy your THC. Mood offers just the right buzz with their federally legal flower, gummies, vapes, and more, helping you find the perfect high. Mood is offering our listeners a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just head over to hellomood.com and use our exclusive code GOG. Mood's latest introduction, the THCA flower, is a game changer, offering the classic cannabis high with a twist. With 10 high-inducing strains, it's their most potent lineup yet. What's even better is that all Mood products are extracted from hemp, making them federally legal, and are regularly tested to ensure the highest quality. Sourced from small family farms, you're getting a product that's effective and pesticide-free. I tried several of their products, from the uplifting Energized to the mellow Chill, and I must say, each provided a unique, enjoyable high. My favorite? Definitely the Creative strain. It sparked an incredible flow of ideas and got me through my daily projects with ease. Whether you're new to THC or a seasoned aficionado, Mood has something for every vibe. Their in-house experts have tailored different strains to match specific moods, offering a range of products to suit any preference. From delectable gummies to classic flower and convenient pre-rolls, there's a multitude of ways to enjoy Mood's offerings. Celebrate 420 exactly how you want to with Mood. Get 20% off your first order, plus a free THCA pre-roll at hellomood.com with promo code GOG. That's hellomood.com. Code GOG. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. On this show, we often discuss the vast amount of personal info floating around out there. We're talking home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. If you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're definitely not alone. That's why I need to tell you about Delete Me. It's been a game changer for me in protecting my personal information. As someone who's been bombarded with spam calls and phishing attempts, discovering Delete Me was like finding a magic shield. Here's a really frustrating fact. The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. With rising political tensions, your political views could expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence. Angry people, fueled by their beliefs, can access your data from data brokers that cover 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment, identity theft, or worse. But there's good news. Delete Me works tirelessly to safeguard your data. They scour the internet, finding and removing your personal information from some of the largest data brokers in the world. And they don't just do it once. They continuously monitor to ensure your info stays private. I signed up and provided details on what I wanted removed, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me updated with regular reports, showing me where my information was popping up and confirming when it was deleted. Seeing their commitment to protecting my privacy has truly been a relief. Now, here's something special for all of you. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get that 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout.
Today's episode is sponsored by Private Internet Access, America's number one virtual private network, also known as a VPN. Even if you use incognito mode, your internet service provider is storing your browsing data and many times even selling it. But Private Internet Access, or PIA, can help. PIA encrypts and reroutes your internet traffic through one of its own servers, hiding your data from your internet service provider or network admin. And with servers in over 75 countries, you can get unrestricted access to geo-block content around the world. PIA comes with an easy-to-use app and browser extensions for all devices, a rock-solid privacy policy, open-source security, advanced customization settings, and it was just ranked the fastest VPN in the world by PCMag. If you sign up with PIA right now, you can take advantage of a special deal only for GOG listeners. By using our link, gog.show/VPN, you can get complete digital privacy for less than $2 a month, and 4 extra months for free, which means only $1.98 a month and up to 83% off. That's so much more inexpensive than virtually every other VPN on the market. And if you get it right now, you can take PIA's 30-day risk-free challenge. You can try it out for 30 days and see if you like it. If not, just return it for a full refund. So go to gog.show/VPN and try out the best VPN on the planet completely risk-free. That's gog.show/VPN.
Are you hungry? I am. Which means it's a perfect time to talk about Factor. Why not make your spring a breeze with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals? Picture this. Every meal is fresh, never frozen, crafted by top chefs, and has the dietitian's thumbs up. Plus, they're ready to roll in just 2 minutes. You've got 35 mouthwatering options to choose from each week. Whether you're into calorie smart, keto, ramping up your protein, or keeping it green with vegan and veggie, Factor's got you covered. And there's more. Each week brings over 60 extras, including breakfast, grab-and-go lunches, snacks, and drinks to keep your energy up and your taste buds happy all day. So, what's the holdup? Dive in today and give your spring the tasty kickstart it deserves. As someone who's lived off microwave meals for most of his life, I can confidently say that Factor's chef-crafted dishes blow anything else I've had out of the water. The chicken stays juicy, the veggies are crisp, and the flavors are absolutely delicious. I'm talking about meals like their artichoke and spinach chicken and the spicy poblano beef bowl. Out of this world. Are you craving a touch of gourmet? Well, check out the meals featuring luxury ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. It's fancy dining without the fuss. And speaking of no fuss, the meals are a total breeze. Forget about prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Just heat up your meal and enjoy the deliciousness. Plus, everything's tailored to fit your life. Customize your weekly meal plan to get exactly what you need whenever you need it. Need to pause or shift your deliveries? No problem. It's all designed to work around your schedule. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/grumpy50 and use code grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code grumpy50 at factormeals.com/grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Media Candy.
I am all caught up on Star Trek Strange New Worlds, and I have to say, Jason, with no spoilers, this might beat Next Generation. Yeah. If it keeps running and keeps staying as good as it is.
See, the funny thing is, last night's episode was the first one.
It was so good!
It's the first one I got bored with halfway through and went off and did something else.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
I might have just been in a bad mood, but like, I mean, I was cracking up. It was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
But I think I was just maybe just a little too tired because I turned off the TV and promptly fell asleep at 8:30 at night.
So okay, I think you need to give it another go because I think it's actually been my favorite episode they've done so far.
Okay, I will definitely check it out because, yeah, I started exercising in the morning because it's so hot here in Southern California that by 8 o'clock at night, I am so exhausted that I just kind of fell asleep. But I'll check it out. But it is so good. It's such a great show.
It is just great. The casting's magnificent. It's all just really working really well. So kudos. Unfortunately, we probably won't be getting a new season anytime soon because now the actors have joined the writers in striking. So enjoy what you got.
Enjoy it. Yeah, enjoy it while it lasts. Reruns are our friends. Might I recommend checking out Picard season 3 for the fifth time? It's still just as good.
And another show we won't be getting season 2 of anytime soon that has wrapped up since we took our break, Silo. Good ending.
It stuck the landing.
Stuck the landing. Followed the book. Interesting what happens when you do that.
Hey, in new news, I got the notification that Foundation season 2 just started airing last night.
Nope. Not even going to watch an episode. Not going to do it.
I'm not going to give them the download. Yeah. I am hate protesting. There's no reason to watch that. The first season was so horrible, even if it wasn't, you know, completely not based on a book.
It wasn't even a good sci-fi show.
It wasn't good. That was the biggest problem with it, is it just wasn't very good. You know, the special effects in the first episode where that cable came down and ripped apart the planet, hands down, some of the best, you know, shit I've seen on TV.
Yeah.
But after that, when they actually started using words, then it fell apart. When they started using words.
The problem is they ran everything through Bard.
That's it. They were the Bard Alpha test group. I have been watching Hijack on Apple TV Plus. I'm really digging it. My roommate and I, we are excited when the new episodes drop. So I recommend checking it out. I mean, you might want to wait till the whole thing is finished, because it is one of those, like, every episode is way too short for what it's doing and ends on a cliffhanger. So if you don't like cliffhangers, just wait till it's done.
All right. I had a song stuck in my head that I was desperately trying to find, and I don't want to go back to like 8 years ago and rant about how iTunes destroyed my libraries multiple times, and then I never reconstructed them, and I couldn't find anything. And
You mean like you just did?
Yeah, like I just did. So I couldn't remember what it was, and it just I just let it sit in the back of my mind for a couple weeks, and eventually out popped a name, Vapor Space. That was it. So I immediately went to all my streaming music networks and looked for the song I was looking for, and shockingly, not on any of them.
Okay.
So then I had to go to the Tube of the U and found it, and found the exact one that I wanted. It was a CD single. I remember it being 33 minutes long of ambient and a little bit electronica, got a little bit ambient, got a little bit dancey too.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit country.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit country. Dolly Parton shows up at some point because she's everywhere right now.
Yeah.
But it was just the best piece of music that I liked for like background concentration when I had to like write a proposal or a contract or I was coding or something like that. And I'm just thrilled that I actually finally found it. So it's in the show notes if anybody wants to give it a go, but it's just a great 32-33 minute piece of music. It's fantastic.
In my 20s, I would have loved this. In my 50s, it is a little too frenetic for me. I need
I enjoy it.
Yeah, I need drugs to listen to.
You want your straight up ambient. This gets a little dancey.
It does. It does. Yeah. I need some recreational chemicals to really get into that one, but no, I totally get it, though. I mean, it reminded me kind of the old Wipeout soundtrack from Wipeout 1.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Oh, that was so good. So good. I did end up watching the entirety of Black Mirror Season 6.
All right.
I fucking loved it. I hate to say it. I fucking loved it.
I really got to get into this and start watching it, I guess.
Yeah. The second episode, when they're in space, I am going to have nightmares about probably forever.
Or maybe I won't get into this.
But it was so good. The first episode and the last episode were just phenomenal.
All right.
Yeah, I really, really liked the whole season. I'm sorry. I did. What I didn't like, though, was Extraction 2. I tried to watch that. Me and my roommate tried to watch it. They are trying to do like turn everything into this one take wonder when they go do these action scenes, and it is unfollowable. They have a problem too when it gets to the words. Not a good movie if you're looking for words that make sense. It was just not great. We turned it off like halfway through the giant big prison break action scene. We're just like,
all I have to do is read the blurb and know this is not for me. Back from the brink of death, highly skilled commando Tyler Rake. Where did they come up with these names? Takes Marred. On another dangerous mission, saving the imprisoned family of a ruthless gangster. Oh, fuck that crap.
Yeah, Extraction 1 was good. That's the sad thing.
Okay.
I mean, I had to go back and figure out what it was because I'm like, Extraction 2? I don't even remember seeing Extraction. Then I went and watched it, and it said, and Netflix is like, you know, hey, you've watched this, and you gave it a thumbs up. I'm like, okay, let me go watch it.
I have?
Yeah. And I watch it, and I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of I remember the ending. I don't remember anything about the story, but I remember it was COVID popcorn because nobody remembers anything they saw during COVID.
So. Not a damn thing.
Exactly. So it's like, go back and rewatch the originals. Now, I found this one on Boing Boing this morning, and I just cracked up. Legal lullabies. Lull yourself to sleep with the soothing white noise of your favorite tech giant's terms of service. Close your eyes, drift away, or scroll down to join the 1% of technology users that claim to have read them from beginning to end. So
fantastic. That's awesome.
You can listen to the Instagram terms of service or the TikTok terms of service. kudos. But you have to look at the URL because the URL is everything.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that good? Don't spoil it.
I'm not spoiling it. That's
good. Got to go to the show notes and check it out. Legal lullabies. It's
very
awesome.
Clever, guys. Whoever did that. Slow clap.
Yes, exactly. and speaking of slow, I've been watching a Canadian cooking show called Wall of Chefs. It is.
What do they do with moose?
Yeah, they haven't had moose yet. They have had some bison. It is kind of like Guy's Grocery Games on Ambien. It is really slow and really polite. Everybody is polite to one another.
To some degree, that is Canada to the U.S. Canada is the U.S. on Ambien and polite and nice.
Yeah. So if you want a cooking show that is polite and nice, it's from Food Network Canada. It's actually quite enjoyable. We watch food shows at the end of the day to calm down and just have something nice to end the day on instead of things like, right. Then I go in my room and watch Black Mirror and I can't sleep for 3 days. But
yes,
it tempers the other stuff we watch. My roommate goes in her room and she watches murder shows. So, you know,
it's kind of like
a palate cleanser before we go watch the
It works
stuff,
out.
But it does. But I just had to throw it in here because we've been watching it and I find it surprisingly enjoying. I am so fucking 50 now. Well, I turned 52 in a couple of weeks, so that's it. I'm going downhill. And we don't have an At the Library this week. I will next week. I got a couple books I'm finishing up. But I found this one called Poop Fiction. Great name. Great name. It says stories to read in your time of need. And it just gives you, it pops out short stories. You pick a time, you know, a time range that you're looking for your morning dump. And it will give you a short story. I was checking out a couple of the 2 to 5 minute ones and I got a bunch of Aesop's Fables. So it's like they like take Project Gutenberg, I think, and slam it into here. So it's cute.
So they take the free stuff that all the AI companies could have scraped.
I'm pretty sure the AI company scraped that too. I'm sure that there's a healthy dose of Project Gutenberg in every single AI.
There you do want a good healthy dose when you're reading Poop Fiction. That's true.
Yes.
Cups and doodads.
Well, I don't know who needs Poop Fiction when you've got 4 Twitter clones running around that you can pop up and sit and scroll forever. But Meta's Threads raced to 100 million users in under a week. Now, this is 99.9999% because you can just basically use your Instagram account to sign up. There is no, it's a one-click sign-up. So.
It's cheating is what it is.
Yes, it is.
When they're comparing these stats, it's total cheating.
Yes, it is. But it is proving to be popular. There's an awful lot of people over there. I see a lot of people posting on Twitter saying that they're not going to post on Twitter much anymore. They'll be over on Threads. Lacking in a lot of the basic features, that's for sure. But you
all
know,
of the basic features.
They'll be rolling them out since they hired everybody that Elon fired. So,
oh, God.
So it'll be there eventually. I'm on it. I look at it every now and then. What I think this is actually going to do is basically kill Blue Sky and probably, Mastodon's already dead. Nobody's talking
Mastodon's
about that
done.
Anymore.
It's done. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll kill Blue Sky. Elon will kill Twitter himself, and we'll see.
Yeah. I go on there, and all I'm doing is muting people because the algorithm that just shoves shit in your face is terrible.
Yeah. One of the best posts I actually saw on Thread was, isn't it funny that all the people that you like looking at pictures from actually can't write for shit?
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's the real thing. It's like, I know who these people are. I don't follow them on Twitter because I want to see their pretty pictures. I don't want to hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. It's like dating a supermodel. You want to see what they look like. You don't want to hear what they say.
Yeah.
So.
And then I saw this in the news and I thought this was hilarious. Johnny Ive's first post-Apple hardware project. Guess what it is, Jason?
What is it, Brian?
A $60,000 turntable. Back to the future.
Does it come with an extra one and a microphone so you can...
What I love about this, too, is this is from his Love From company. It's his latest project. It's a new model of a modular turntable that's been around for half a century. Now, get this. Designers in action. The two teams examined every aspect of the LP12, but couldn't change the turntable very much owing to concerns about impact over sound quality. So he basically put in bevels. That's
for $60,000.
Brian,
there's a new circular aluminum power button instead of a plastic rocker.
Ooh.
Yes. And the hinge,
that's worth at least $40,000.
And the hinge is kind of like a dust cover now. So
fucking ridiculous.
So fucking stupid. Oh, Oh, talk about this guy, you know, I'm sure he started out great. He did start out great. Yes, he did. He started out great. Then he took away our ports. And now he's just, he's a fucking mad scientist making shit for nobody that's going to buy it. Or three people. Oh, no, sorry. 250 people, because that's all they're going to make of them. 240 of which will sit in a warehouse.
Exactly.
Jesus.
The Dark Side. Ha! With Dave.
Welcome to The Dark Side with Dave, with podcast superhost Dave Bittner. Dave is the host of the Cyberwire podcast for all your cybersecurity news, the co-host of Hacking Humans with Joe Kerrigan, discussing how humans are mean, the co-host of Caveat with Ben Yellen, because people are nosy, and the host of Control Loop, because industrial machines are coming for us. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. It's been a couple weeks since we've spoken, and turns out, actually, last time we spoke, I had COVID.
Oh no!
One of us.
Yes, thank you.
Hopefully, not long COVID. This is the thing that's freaking everybody out right now.
That's the thing. Who you never know, do you?
Yeah. No.
So I had what I thought was a chest cold during the second weekend of my Hello Dolly run, and you know, just some chest congestion. That was really about it. And then my wife got sick, and she lost her sense of taste and smell. So she tested for COVID, and sure enough, had it. And so I tested for COVID, sure enough, had it.
And this was after the performances?
Yes.
So you get a free gift for every day. Free performance.
I'm gonna blame the mustache. I think the flavor saver caught it and sucked it into you.
I think so.
I think that's scientifically sound.
I think for everyone in the audience, I was a COVID cannon. Spewing it out there. But so my wife was sick and I was sick, but then I got the fatigue hit me. And which was just,
yeah, that
weird.
Was no joke.
No, it's not. And it just came out of nowhere. I'd be just bopping along, not feeling, you know, maybe not 100% myself, but then all of a sudden, bam, hit the brick wall and just, no energy. And then the other very strange thing I had was some nausea I could be sitting here looking at my computer and just reading some stuff and I would get motion sickness.
That's all the gin you drink, so don't worry about that.
That was actually the booze, yeah.
Yeah, that could be a contributing factor, certainly. I'm not cutting back on that.
Yeah, seriously.
So, so that was weird, like sudden onset, you know, nausea, vomiting, all that fun stuff. So I think I tried to come back to work a little too soon. So I took a few days off and eased back in. I'd say I'm 90% back to normal now, as normal as
interestingly
be,
though, the few days that Dave took off, podcast listening dipped because there was a lack of shows.
Globally?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The impact was noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. The Apple charts just took a day off.
Yeah.
So this was my first time with COVID that I know of, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. I think my case was mild, and I'm happy to have had all of my shots and all that stuff, and I'm happy to have gone this long, and I'm happy that I had a relatively mild case. But, man, if this was mild, my heart goes out to the people who suffered serious cases and also the people who are suffering with long COVID, because it is no joke.
Yep. Yeah, long COVID's tough. I know a bunch of people that have it, and it's a fucker.
Yeah, me too. It's a fucker. It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's been fun.
Sorry to hear.
No, it's good to be back. It's
late
frustrating.
To the game, but you finally made it. Yeah.
It's frustrating because it's not like I'm knocked on my butt like I have the flu or something and I can't do anything. It's just it's been a very slow healing process. And so I want to be getting better faster than I am. And I just need to – and everyone keeps telling me, don't push it. This is
not one.
Don't
push it. Exactly.
You cannot push through this one. You've got to respect it. And so I've been trying to do that and, you know, take little naps and things. And so far, so good. And I think I'm on the better side of it. So we'll cross our fingers and hope there are no lingering effects here. So far, you know, no brain fog or any of that stuff. But
None How would beyond I know? The usual. Yeah, none beyond the usual.
Right. Another thing, I since we recorded last time, and it was a couple weeks ago because we took off for the 4th of July, I keep thinking about, Brian, you describing yourself all punked out at Disneyland.
Yep.
And it just strikes to me like that is a perfect Far Side cartoon. You know, like just imagine the Gary Larson style, these guys with, you know, spiked hair and tattoos and things and you know, innocent little, you know, corn-fed girls from the middle of the country coming through. And somehow, I don't know, somehow it's just a different category of punks who choose to do their hunting at Disneyland. It just strikes me as being inherently funny. Yeah.
You know, well, actually, funny enough, I will be at Disneyland tomorrow of all. Oh. I'm taking the kid. I will not be looking like I did back in the day, but I'll definitely see if I can dig out some photos. Maybe I'll see if I can find some to share.
Lock up your women and hide the fried chicken.
Think about how many people's vacation photos you are inadvertently in.
Inadvertently and vertently, because they definitely wanted to take photos with us. So.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I keep wondering about that with facial recognition, because sometimes I look at our photos from Disneyland or Disney World or whatever, vacationing, and there are people in the background. And I think, like, you know, that's a photo that I look at regularly because it's in my rotation of, oh, look, it's a nice picture of my kids or my wife or my family or my mom or whatever. But there's someone in the background who's clearly there. And I think that person is part of my family photos. I have no idea who they are and I never will. But I wonder if with facial recognition.
You can find out now.
Well, would Facebook automatically tag them now? It might.
They used to. I don't think they do anymore. They said they threw out all the facial data.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, supposedly. But there are other places you can go for that.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, try Ten Eye. At Disneyland.
You can always try Ten Eye. That works.
I'm looking forward to Disneyland and the, you know, not so much the bill. I can't believe how expensive it is for a family of just three to go. But yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah. No, you'll. Yeah, I have a great time. I hear the crowds are down too, which is. Nice.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I think they're just overpricing now. It's not affordable as a family vacation anymore.
No. I heard the term this week. Someone referred to it as revenge travel, which is where people who couldn't travel during COVID had to get out and were traveling, and that was a part of why we saw the big spike in traffic at places like Disney World. And now it seems as though we're done with the revenge travel. And so they're going back down to regular attendance levels, which is good, but still crazy expensive.
And people having to go back into the office a little bit. So you can't just have your phone on you and pretend you're working while you're actually taking a vacation with the kids.
Right.
I'm not saying that people do that, but I am going on a Saturday. Thank you very much.
There you go.
In one of the hottest weekends of Southern California
history.
All right.
It's going to be brutal.
They should give you a discount when the weather just sucks that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although I guess you get to go on more rides.
Fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to do a little follow-up on my 4th of July movie marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
I started watching the first movie I picked was Fight Club.
Okay.
It turns out every movie on that list I have seen so many times I could not give a flying fuck if I ever see it again.
All right.
I was so bored. I know all the words. I know all the beats. And it really didn't do it. And then so I just scrapped it and started to find new movies to watch. So I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once. Finally, I sat down and got through it. And God, what a great little movie that was.
Yeah,
fantastic.
So
it just out of the blue, I saw this, which I thought I might try sometime. And this is from what's his name? Austin Kleon. He's a pretty good writer. He wrote a book called Steal Like an Artist, which I covered on the show a long time ago. He wrote an article back in 2020 called In Praise of Watching Your Favorite Movies in Black and White.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of works.
Oh, yeah.
It totally works. So I'm going to end up going through and trying to watch. I don't have it set up so I can watch those movies in black and white unless I do it on my computer, which is no fun with a 75-inch TV in front of me. I want to figure that out.
I was about to say, you have a 7,000-inch TV and now you're going to watch your movies in black and white on it.
Yeah, I mean, can't you just turn the color all the way down on the TV?
I guess I can. I'll just hit the saturation button and knock it down. Yeah. Okay, you go for the easy answer. I'm sitting here trying to re-encode and figure out which codec to use. You're just like, turn the color off, dipshit. Yeah,
bouncing it from his laptop to the moon and back to the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
This means you have to locate the original remote, which...
Well, God knows where that is.
Yeah.
Well, my TV has Alexa, so I could just maybe tell Alexa, make it black and white, see if that works.
Oh. There was
I don't know, those large language models, when you throw in the word black, you can get some pretty suspect responses. Yeah,
right.
It'll just start playing Ebony and Ivory.
There was a project a few years ago, and I'm trying to remember who it was. It was one of the big-name directors did a version of Raiders of the Lost Ark in black and white that he put out. And I want to – which one?
Steven Soderbergh. That's who you're talking
about. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes.
That would be the first sentence in the article that I posted into the show notes.
There you go. All right. So, yeah. And I think, obviously, Raiders is a perfect movie for a black and white treatment.
Yeah. I mean, it's beige anyway. It's like beige and white.
I like color. I'm not down with this.
Oh, see, I
like color,
too. Black and white photography, so I'm always down with black and white any chance I can get.
I do like the black and white cookies.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those are good.
This brings me to something that I find more and more annoying and distracting in modern cinema and television and all that stuff, which is the trend in modern color correction, which basically turns everything into a duotone.
Yep.
Where skin tones are orange and every shadow is teal.
Yep, right. That would be Joker was really bad with that.
Yeah.
That was the latest one that was just terrible.
And I find it distracting, and I hope we get past it, because the world is more than two colors. And
yes.
I get it. It makes everything pop, but it just seems like it's this fashion right now for all of the folks doing the color correction in all of these films. But come on, not every shadow is a brilliant teal.
Yeah, Lutz Gone Wild is what
it's
they
like
call
the
that.
It's the movie equivalent of like music in the 80s, where everything was like everybody was so coked out. It's all high end and like
right,
you can just tell immediately.
Right, it's the visual version of Simmons digital drums.
Yes,
or the Axel F theme. I was going to say I want to give it a shot on some of the old ones, see if it helps. But I got a feeling it's not, because I just know these movies so well.
Well, Jason, maybe it's time for you to watch some new movies.
New movies.
Expand the repertoire.
You have any idea how many movies I've seen?
Anyway. You know what? We have a poster down in our where we watch movies in our house, our little homebrew home theater, and it's the. I want to say it's like the AFI's list of the top 100 movies, and it's a scratch-off poster. So as you watch each movie, you scratch off I think it reveals the movie poster underneath.
Oh, but is it scratch and sniff?
Oh, now that
you
would be interesting.
You can smell Helena Bonham Carter and Mike.
Definitely. I was going to say, there are definitely some movies I don't want to smell.
Yeah.
But that might be a good way to go at it. In other words, let someone else's list guide you, and you're going to see some stinkers, but the AFI's movie list is probably more good than bad.
Last time I checked, I've seen over
Criterion Collection.
Yeah, I've seen over 80 of those.
Okay.
Out of the 100, so I guess I can hit
you got 20 to go.
To go.
And some of them are probably originally in black and white, so you don't even have to do your fancy bounce it to the moon thing.
Yeah, that's Criterion, right. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Although I've seen Seven Samurai a gazillion times, too. But hey, whatever. But I did watch The Ashley Madison Affair that came out last week on Hulu. Did you guys get a chance to check that one out?
No.
No.
I have no interest.
Extremely well done.
Is it?
It's extremely well done. And you get to see all the people that we always talk about. Krebs is in it. Joseph Cox is in it.
I was about to say, and you get to see all the people that were busted being on Ashley Madison.
That, too. It's a really good show. It's only three parts. I thoroughly enjoyed it. My roommate enjoyed it. She's not a techie nerd, but she loves juice and gossip, and that was about all that thing was about.
Yeah.
So it's actually really a really good telling of the hack and the story of Ashley Madison. So
all right. Who knew?
I'll trust you on that one. It's not something that interests me, and I guess maybe we covered it so much when it was happening. I just feel.
Yeah. A little PTSD.
I guess I don't want to. Yeah. Like my wife says, when she goes to the movies, she wants to leave feeling better than she did when she went in. And I just have the feeling this is going to make me feel yucky.
Yeah. I'm there. I think it's a kid thing. Once you have a kid, you just don't want to watch a lot of things anymore that make you feel bad. I've definitely noticed that happen to me over the past couple
right,
years.
Right,
like,
right.
I know I should go watch a Black Mirror, but I just don't want to. I want to feel happy.
Right.
This didn't make me, this didn't leave me feeling bad. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just broken.
Well, I mean, there's that.
Yeah. You know how that goes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I put a couple of things in here that caught my eye this week. One was the trailer for the new Willy Wonka movie. Have you guys seen
this? I can't believe we're rebooting. It's such an incredible clip these days.
Yeah. So here's the thing for me. If you had asked me, you know, to name my top 10 movies that I wish they would just leave alone,
Willy
Wonka would be one of them.
Yeah. You're not going to touch Gene Wilder's performance. You're just not.
No, you're not. Actually, my son, my youngest son, when this trailer came out, he went and watched the original Willy Wonka movie. And he'd seen it before, but he came to me and said, "Man, Dad, that movie is dark."
Yes, it is.
Said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It
There's
is.
No
also,
way of knowing.
Right. Yeah. That boat ride. Oh, my gosh. A good trivia question, by the way, if you want to win a bar bet, is what studio produced the original Willy Wonka movie?
Oh, no idea.
No idea.
Any guesses, Jason?
MGM.
It was underwritten by the Quaker Oats Company.
Yeah, nice. Wouldn't have picked that one.
Because not a studio.
Well,
yeah,
it was
not
their
in the
only
list of choices.
Yeah. Evidently, it was their only foray into financing films, and it went well for them. So I don't, you know, but yeah, so fun little.
Take the money and run.
Yeah,
do you
absolutely.
Know who financed the first Monty Python movie?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it like the guys from Led Zeppelin?
Led Zeppelin and George Harrison, yes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so sorry. Back to what studio financed the first Monty Python movie?
Yes, to stick with the theme of
right. Apple Records. So back to this trailer. I'm open-minded about it, mainly because it's from the guy who directed the Paddington movie, which I thought was wonderful. So
I did enjoy that as well. I watched that with the kid, and it was good. Look, anything's going to be better than that Johnny Depp, Tim Burton version. That was just horrific.
Right, right. So I think it's hard to tell if this is going to be a musical or not. It seems like maybe it's going to be, but they're trying to soft pedal that in the trailer because they don't want to scare people away.
Right.
But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued enough to want to know more, and I would have thought I would have been totally turned off by this. So we'll see.
The trailer looks all right. I will definitely give it a go, or at least see what people are saying about it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Fair enough. And the last thing I put in here was it's just silly and stupid, but it made me laugh. So I thought I'd share. Evidently there's someone, a musician who puts metal soundtracks to evangelical preachers doing their preaching. And in this case, they took Kenneth Copeland's daughter and put just a perfect metal soundtrack behind her. And boy, does it work.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I kind of wish they didn't do the split screen on the video. I just kind of want them and without seeing the hair guy playing with
right,
the music.
Right,
but very, very funny. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Because it's funny in that it's making fun of both the evangelical preacher and the metal, you know, like, and they're not that far from each other as perhaps you'd think they were. So
there's a whole genre of videos out there, Dave, that you might appreciate that's been popping up in my feed recently, and they're equally hilarious. It's like religious songs that go way harder than you expect them to, and there's some people
really?
That have written some crazy ass songs.
Okay,
it's very good. I'll have to send you a link to one or two.
Yeah. Well, I think I told you when we did our Disney trip back in March, just how shocked we were at how dark the Country Bear Jamboree is.
Yeah.
So, oof.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
It was different times back then.
I guess so. Yeah, look, and Willy Wonka. I mean,
yeah. Oof,
yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's what I have this week. I'm going to go maybe take a nap and try to heal some more. But
recover.
It's good. Right. Yeah, it's good to be back. Good catching up. And Brian, have a great time at Disneyland. Yep. I look forward to your report.
I'm going to go rob a bank so I can pay for some food while we're there.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Closing shout outs.
Over at Patreon, we've got Leslie, Mike, Ryan, and Brandon. Thank you, new folks.
Thanks. Let's go, Brandon.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck.
Sorry, I've been on Twitter too much. Over at PayPal, we've got Thomas, Nicola, Benjamin, Linda, Nikolai, Sherry, Miles, Natalie, Edward, Ralph, and Gregory with the big old $50.
Woohoo!
That almost gets us to being able to buy one of those turntables, Jason.
Oh, yeah. At least the dust cover or aluminum power button. Over at the tip jar, we've got Mario, Christopher, Matthew, Ashley, Linda, Jeff, Joseph, Theodore, and we've got Chris and Nicholas both with the $50 contributions. Woohoo!
All right.
Damn, and we've got rock and roll.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Thanks, everybody. We got one new review, 5 stars from Bogwitch. Gitz is right. The podcast is great, seriously, but why don't Jason and Brian allow my old review to be listed on their website, Gitz? No clue what Bogwitch is talking about.
Well, when you post a review on the website, if you do it directly on the website, we have to go through and hit OK, show it. And that takes effort on our side. And I do it every now and again.
I didn't even know we had to do that.
Yeah, that's why I do it, not you. But every time I go in there, there's about 450 Viagra and Cialis comments that people have botted our way. So I have to be able to, you know, sit there and do that. Maybe I should do that on the pooper instead of... Clash Royale and poop reads. Anyway, hey, everybody, just to let you know, a couple people have written in about buying our discounted ads. I will get back to you this week. We have been on vacation, so just I'm getting caught up. But if you're interested in running an ad on Grumpy Old Geeks, drop me an email, jason@grumpyoldgeeks.com. We are running a sale, more than half off. You may have heard on our previous episode, our show fan who bought us our awesome, awesome ad. In the upcoming weeks, we are going to have basically a fire sale right now because it's summer and everything's on fire. Fire.
We will promote your shit.
We will promote your shit for pennies on the dollar.
A little over nothing.
Until next time, I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. Show notes and links to everything we talked about today are at gog.show/609. gog.show/donate is the place to drop us a few bills so we can keep bringing you this top-notch entertainment.
Woo!
Sharing the show with your friends, enemies, or anyone in between is free and can be almost as good as cash. Almost. Jason changes this every week.
No, this is the same one. I forgot to change it this week, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Well, we took a week off. I don't remember it. Yeah. At gog.show, you can find a link to our Discord channel if you want to chat with us and other show fans. Head over to gog.show/contact to send us your feedback, comments, or links to cool shit you think we should talk about. gog.show/review is where you can toss us a review and preferably 5 stars that we can read on the air. Stay grumpy.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.